Ministries. I'm Pastor Landis Fisher, and I thank God for you that you have joined us here for our midweek Bible study. Do have a very, very good topic today. I want to thank God for all of you. It's always a blessing to share the word at this time, and we are really just blessed and thankful to be able to be with you and that you are able to be with us. Amen. A lot of strange things going on in the world, so we want to have a word of prayer. We pray God has blessed you and kept you, and I know right now if you can hear my voice that this is the case, and it is true. And so we want to just take a minute and have a word of prayer. I thank God for allowing me to be here, and we hope that you will join us. We are a teaching ministry. We like to teach what the Lord says in His Word, and we believe that the Bible is the full authoritative revelation that man needs for time and eternity. It will take you all the way into eternity, into the presence of God, and give you peace in the meantime, even though we live in a chaotic world. You can find your peace in God's Word. And it's such a powerful thing because God has written His Word and given it that authority so that you and I can rely on it and maintain a state of peace no matter what kind of chaos is going on around us. Amen. We can see, Jesus put it this way in John 16:33. He says, "These things have I spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." So the fact that He has overcome the world is where you and I can have good cheer. In other words, we can hold on to a state of contentment no matter what we're going through. Amen. So this is why we need you to study God's Word. Amen. We have a lot of resources available for you online, free of charge, on our website at teachingbible.org. One long word, teachingbible.org. And you can go there 24 hours a day and just feed on the Word of God. Amen. But before we get into there, we're going to go right ahead and get into our lesson today and have a word of prayer. If you have things that you want to pray about, things that you need, other people that you like to intercede for, whatever the case is, this is a good time. We're going to take just the first few minutes of our broadcast and pray. Amen. Jesus said, man, I to always pray and not faint. That means don't give up. Keep on praying. If you haven't seen the manifestation of what it is that you're praying for, keep on praying. And don't give up. Be like that persistent prayer that we see so many models of. I won't take time to go into that right now. It's easy for me to get on a tangent. But in the case, we love God and we love you. And we hope that you love God's Word. And so we're going to go ahead and have a word of prayer. At this time, a lot of things to pray about. We don't have much time. We could take the whole period and pray, and we would still not be able to exhaust everything that needs to be prayed for. But always pray. Remember that prayer is that language. Just like you breathe, just pray. Because the Bible says, pray without ceasing. Let us pray. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we praise your name. Father, we exalt you. We magnify your name, Father, for you are excellent and you are worthy of all praise. Father, we thank you for the privilege of prayer. We thank you that we can call upon your name here on earth or in any circumstance that we happen to be in, and you have promised that you will hear our prayer. And so, Father, we come to you to ask you to forgive us of our sins, wash us, cleanse us, sanctify us, heal us, and deliver us. Deliver us from every unrighteous way, every unrighteous thought, every unrighteous deed. Lord God, help us to be focused on the things that you have said that your church should do in these last and evil days, Father, that we might pinpoint and focus the things that we're doing. Father, that we might reach out to the world who doesn't know you in the pardon of their sin. Father, that's our highest ideal. When you sent the apostles out, your disciples, you told them to go and teach in all the world to every nation to preach repentance for the remission of sins and to teach the gospel, the good news that you have given your life in order that we might be free from the penalty of sin and death, that we might be free from the curse of the law, which would only condemn us. So, Father, we ask you today, empower us as your church to make a clear presentation of the gospel, that good news that you have left for all men, women, boys, and girls, that whosoever believes in the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, shall not perish but have everlasting life. Father, we treasure the message and we treasure our Savior, the Messiah. We treasure you, Lord God, and we exalt you and we give you praise. We thank you for the resurrection of your Son. You raised him up out of the grave so that we don't even have to worry about the problem of death, as horrible of a thing as death is. You have dealt with the worst problem that we could possibly deal with in life already when you raise your Son out of the grave. Give many the revelation of that today, Father. Help them understand what the gospel really is. Father, we pray for those who are sick, those who are heading into the ORs for surgeries, those who are coming out of the ORs. We thank you. We say hallelujah. We give you praise for healing mercies, Lord God. Those who are defeating the pandemic, thank you today, God. Those who are in the midst of it, Father, we pray you just keep healing mercies and ministering angels upon them that they might also be healed. And Father, we know you can do anything. If you can raise the dead, you can certainly heal the sick. And you can turn away disease. You can speak to the wind and the waves, and they will obey you. So, Father, we trust you today. We trust you, Lord, and we thank you for your word. We pray for your church everywhere, all over the world, that she would be clear with the message that you have left for us to disseminate to all the nations and even to the ends of the earth. Father, we pray for strength, wisdom, grace, mercy, provision, whatever we need, Lord, to get this message out to the world so that you might be glorified. Father, strengthen us in these last days and increase our opportunities to spread your word. Bless every ear under the sound of my voice today, Father, however they might be hearing us. And Father, we pray for every home and every family that's represented here, every grandchild, every adult, every grandparent, every grandmother, every grandfather, every great-grand, all of you today. We just ask God's grace and his mercy upon you and your family and on everything surrounding you. Father, we ask that you cast away all forces of darkness, that your children's ears could be opened, that we might receive a blessing from the word that you have given us today. And we ask this, and we'll be careful to give all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory to Jesus alone. He alone deserves the glory. And we thank you for the Lord Jesus right now. We give you all the praise and the glory. Bless the word today as it goes forth. And it's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. And all the saints said, amen. Amen. Go ahead and give him some praise. Hallelujah. Amen. Makes me want to break out in song. And but we don't have to go there right now. We'll just get out a minute. Amen. But in either case, we do have a good word today from the Lord. If you've been with us, you've understood that last week on Sunday, we talked about being a citizen of heaven. We spent a lot of time trying to make clear the basics of the word of God. And let me explain to you why that is. The reason is, once you understand the fundamentals, this is the primary reason that God sent the apostles out to preach the gospel, the good news, is because it is, as our message today is called, why the gospel is the best news ever. This is the best news that the world has ever had. And when Jesus had defeated death in the grave, he dispatched those who had been his disciples for 3.5 years, told them to go out and teach, proclaim this message to all the nations. Now, you know what I love about that? I'm going to just digress 1 minute here. What I love is that there's no particular person that cannot receive it. Everyone, he says, preach to every nation. Think about that for a minute. No prejudice, no big eyes, little U's, no high and mighty and low and lowly. None of that. Everybody, preach this good news to everybody. See? And so this is where I think the world has lost it, because we have so much issues with conflict against this nation, that nation, this color and that color, this age and that age, all kinds of conflicts everywhere. But the gospel is for everybody. It's for all people everywhere on the planet. And it is universal. It's a universal message from Almighty God, the creator of all things. And it's good news. It's the best news the world has ever had. So, you know what? I hear a lot of people, and I'm not criticizing. I just want to point it out. If you're focused on politics, you're on the wrong track. If you happen to be a church and you're focused on one particular people group, you're on the wrong track. If you happen to be prejudiced against anybody, which we have a lot of that with denominationalism, you are on the wrong track. And I didn't say it. God did. He said to his disciples, go to all the nations, preach the gospel, the good news that God, his Son, has paid his life as a ransom for your sin, And if you believe that God has raised him from the dead, which he did, and you know what, everybody at that time, back in 33 A.D., when Jesus got out that grave, the message of that went from one end of the world to the other. It started to spread like wildfire. Some people didn't believe it, but it happened, because they couldn't produce the body. There was no body. That tomb was empty when Jesus got about the grave. He said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. And you know what? There were some people who really wanted to produce that dead body and bring it forth and show it forth and say, no, here he is, here, that one we crucified is right here. That's what they would do today. You know, they can't even convict on a murder unless it's some very strong circumstantial evidence without a corpus. You got to have a corpus delicti to convict. And so the fact is, they were unable to bring that body that they had crucified on Calvary out to show it to the people, because Jesus had risen, got up with all power in his hands, even over death in the grave. So this is exciting. Now, if you don't get the excitement of that, maybe you haven't been in the misery that's all around you in this world. Maybe you've overlooked how painful death and suffering is. But the fact is, God sent his only begotten Son to defeat death, hell, in the grave, in order that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And he sent his disciples out, told them, go ye therefore and teach all the nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And he said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. So Jesus very well intended to stick with us to the end of the world. The church message has not changed. You might see some changes. You might see some people who went on left or to the right or on the tangent, who very seldom ever mention the gospel. But the gospel is the best news, and I want to tell you today why the gospel is the best news ever. It's the best news that there is. It's better than any other news you could possibly get. Somebody might come tell you, oh, you got an inheritance from a long-lost uncle, and now you're a millionaire. Well, that's not the best news in the world. Because Matthew 16:26 says, what would a man be profited if he gained the whole world and lost his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? So one soul is worth more than every possession and even heaven and earth itself. And so this is what God said, and this is why he so loved you, that he gave Jesus, his only Son, so that if you just believe in him, that you will not perish. That means you will not go to hell. You will not be in the other family. We always talk about the two families. We talked about that. Either you're a citizen of heaven or you're in the other family. If you're not a citizen of heaven, that means you're lost and you're still in your sins, and there has been no atonement made for your sin. The purpose of Christ Jesus coming into the world was to save sinners. Paul said, of whom I am chief. That's what he told Timothy. I'm the chief of sinners, and he came to save me. And the fact is, he came to save you too, beloved. I want you to know God loves you just like you are, and you do not have to be a Bible scholar. You simply need to believe why the gospel is the best news in the world, is that all you have to do is believe the gospel. Now, a lot of people criticize when you say that, because they say, well, if you tell people that, they're going to do anything. They're going to be lawless. But it's just the opposite, beloved. I want you to know it's the very opposite of people who think that. You know, because if you think you can satisfy God with your works, I want to tell you the Bible says you are 100% wrong. You know, because the Bible says by the works of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Let me share a verse with you, and I think this is puzzling, and this is the reason I wanted to take some time with it on our Bible study today, to tell you why the gospel is the best news ever. There's never been better news. Listen to this. This is Ephesians in the second chapter of Paul writing to the church at Ephesus. Are the most famous verses, I guess, that you may know, are found in chapter 2, verse 8, where it says, for by grace ye are ye saved through faith. Okay, grace means undeserved, unmerited favor. By grace ye are saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Notice that grace is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not by works of righteousness, and we've been over this in some previous lessons. Titus 3:5, it's not by works of righteousness that we have done, but by his great mercy that he poured out richly upon us in Christ Jesus, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. So it's not by works of righteousness that we have done. In other words, we have not done enough things righteously to satisfy a perfectly holy God. That's the issue. And so we want to talk about that because a lot of people today corrupting the gospel by telling you that if you don't keep the law, if you don't keep the Sabbath, if you don't, all these different things they want to put up, which are 100% wrong. It's okay if you want to keep the Sabbath, that's fine. But you cannot be saved by keeping a Sabbath. You cannot be saved by keeping the Ten Commandments. Let me tell you why you can't. You can't because you will break the law in one spot, and then, therefore, God will throw the book at you. You are guilty of the whole law. If you break the law in one point, you are guilty of the whole law. God is absolutely holy. He is absolutely spotless. We don't even understand that. It's hard for a corrupted human mind like mine to even wrap my mind around the thought that somebody would be perfectly holy. We can't even really comprehend that at all. But it's true because the Bible says of God that he is holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory. You know, you look around and see what God made. He is totally impeccable, way beyond our understanding. He is perfectly righteous, perfectly spotless, and there's no way that any wretch like us, born of a sinful set of parents, which all of us were all the way back to Adam and Eve, could ever fulfill the righteous requirement of Almighty God. It's impossible. Now, that doesn't mean his law is not a good thing. The law of God is holy, just, and good, as it says in Romans chapter 7. See, in many other places, God's law is not the problem. The problem with the law and me and you, that you want to know what the problem is? We cannot keep it 100%. Doesn't mean it's not okay to try. Yes, we should set it as a goal. By the law is the knowledge of sin. The Bible says the law teaches me who is born in trespasses and dead in trespasses and sin what holiness really is. See, the law is a schoolmaster, it says in Galatians, to bring me to Christ, because the only way I can be saved is through Christ. See, I cannot be saved by law. Why? Because I cannot keep it 100% from the womb to the tomb. And if I have broken his law in one point, and we'll get to that in a minute in James chapter 2. But let's look at the text here in Ephesians 2. He says here, noticing as we move on, talking about the grace that we are saved through faith, in verse 8, Ephesians 2:8, he says, and that not of yourselves. In other words, even the faith that you have, you didn't produce it. You cannot produce it. You know where faith comes from? It says in the text, it is the gift of God, not of works. See, in other words, I can't do anything to work to obtain the faith that I need to believe God. You know where it comes from? Faith comes by hearing. Romans 10:17 says, and hearing by the word of God. So God's word gives me faith. Faith is transmitted to me when I hear the good news about God's Son, who he has given to save a wretch like me and you. If you believe Christ, the Bible says that you shall be saved. If you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, you shall be saved. If you will confess with your mouth Jesus Christ as Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's the message of the gospel. Now, let me help you with something here. Moving on, verse 9. It's not of works, he says, lest any man should boast. Notice this, verse 10. For we are his workmanship. In other words, if you got saved, God took you up as a project like he did me. I can remember the time he took me up as a project. You know what? I was a reject. And I was on the scrap pile because I wasn't doing things right and I didn't really even care in one while. You know, I can't ever tell you that I didn't believe in God. I always did, you know, because I was raised in a family that was a God-fearing family. But was I actually walking with God? Was I actually responding to God? Was I feeding on his word? Was I growing in the truth? No, absolutely not. See, you know why? Because my mind was divided with all the stuff in the world. There was stuff around me that seemed to be more attractive to me at one period in my life. And I was engaging in those things, trying to pursue those things, and those things were destroying me, and I didn't even know it. So the truth of the matter is, I was not seeking after God. The blessing of it is, God still knew that as a child, I had been trained up in the Word. See, sometimes that may not be true of you, but I want to tell you something. Another reason why
The gospel, the best news ever, is that even if you weren't, you could have been bought up by some godless heathen who did not know God at all and didn't care about him, taught you there is no God. Or you could have been born in some country where somebody told you something else is God. Or there's a God over here or a God over there. Somebody may have told you there is no God. But it makes no difference. Once you hear the gospel, this is why the gospel is the best news that has ever been given to mankind. God is giving you faith to trust in his son whom he has configured the whole planet around the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's a fact. We can look on the calendar and the calendar is telling us that's a fact. It's 2020 because Christ was born 2,020 years ago. See, and the whole world is configured around him, and God did that so it will be difficult for you to overlook him. It will be difficult for you to believe something else or someone else who doesn't have that credential. The fact that he is in the center of every document, every contract, every tombstone. He's in the middle of everything in this world, every date, every birth certificate, every document that's filed, every stock that's bought or sold. He's in the middle of it because God put him there and gave him an indelible credential in order that you and me might trust in him and believe in him and therefore be saved. See, so it's a serious thing. You know what? God can take you wherever you are, no matter how evil you may be, no matter what you ever believed before, no matter what lies you embrace and have a lock on your life right now, holding you in a pattern of sin, he is able to break that by the good news of the gospel. The gospel is that I love you anyway, in spite of all of that, in spite of any of that. I love you just like you are. I have never changed. I'm Almighty God. I've been the same yesterday. I'm the same today. And I'll be the same forever. And you can count on it. See? And this is why I gave my son. You want to know, do I love you? Look at the cross. Take a look at what Jesus did for you. He went to Calvary and was spit on, mauled, mocked, ridiculed, spoken evil of, yet he had never done anything wrong, never had broken God's law from the womb to the cross. Perfectly spotless, perfectly holy. And this is the best news that the world has ever heard because God sent his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. In other words, if you saw him stroll in the streets of Nazareth, he looked like everyday Joe. You know what? He didn't look so glamorous. The Bible says that he had no beauty, no form, nor comeliness that we should desire him. Isaiah 53 says. He looked like a regular old everyday Joe on his way about doing his things. But yet he was God, veiled in human flesh. And he walked among us. John 1:14 says the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And he said, and we beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten from the Father. Full of grace and truth. He is the only begotten Son of God. The monogenes, it says there in the Greek. That means the only begotten Son of God. He's the only Son that God had who came forth out of a woman's womb that he designed all the way back when he made Eve. Awesome thing that God did, giving his Son, even to come into the world and be born, he went through the entire human experience, just like you and I, in order that he might show off the things of God, that he might fulfill the word of God, that he might take the punishment for all of mankind upon himself and receive death as a punishment from God on your behalf and on my name. See? So the gospel is the very best news that the world has ever heard. Why? God loved you so much, he allowed his son to do that which you and I could never do. No one has ever kept God's law all the way through their life, from the womb to the tomb. The most devout rabbi, if you know the truth, rabbi, sir, you know you have not kept God's law. You know what? The law had a whole section on sacrifices that had to be made. Why did you have to make a sacrifice? Because you broke God's law. The sacrifice of atonement was necessary because nobody at any time from Adam on up to this second has ever kept God's law entirely. Not a soul. The only one who did is Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And he didn't do it for himself, which I guess it was for himself too, in the sense that he was absolutely holy and God had preordained him from before the foundation of the world that he would be born into the world to bear the sins of all who put their trust in him. And that news is the gospel. It's gospel because it's good news. very, 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 the best good news you could ever hear. No matter who you are, no matter what you have done, no matter what you have believed, God has put the entire debt for all your sin on his own son. He did it so that you and I don't have to worry about our relationship with God based over any sin that we have done. Now, I want to quickly say this because this is where all the rigmarole and the kind of stuff people want to say, oh, you're preaching lawlessness, preaching, you're going to make them go and sin more. No, sir, no, ma'am. Let me tell you why not. Because when you understand that God loves you, he gave his son, he heaped all of your sin on him so I don't have to throw you and me in hell, that's how much I loved you. That's a demonstration of perfect love. The Bible says perfect love casts out fear. The Bible says God is love. You see? And perfect love, which God has in him alone, casts out fear. Fear of what? Of death, of punishment, of getting what I deserve. You know what? If he gave me what I deserve, I'd be a tearful memory long ago and cast into the deepest and darkest hell forever. That's what sinners deserve. But the fact is, God did not want sinners to go to hell. So he gave his son to stand in your place to be the perfect high priest after the order of Melchizedek, which is recorded in Genesis 14. We want to talk about the first mention, in order that he might take up our sin on himself. He was the perfect representative of God the Father, and he was the perfect representative of man. See, only one like him that there ever has been or ever will. He is the Son of God and the Son of man. He came into the world to bear the sins of all who trust in him. He is the last Adam, the Bible says. The first Adam called you and me and all of our ancestors, everybody, everywhere, you know, on the earth, on the whole creation, even if you're in the space station and you can hear me, you're sinful up there. You need Jesus. He is the only one that can save you. Doesn't make any difference where you are. Fly to Mars if you like. You're sinful out there. You need Jesus. If E.T. is out there, you need to repent, sir. You need Jesus. No matter who you are, because there's only one way of salvation. That's what it says in Acts. It says that there's only one name under heaven, 4:12, which has been given among men, whereby we must be saved. See? So there's one name under heaven. Under heaven means where God is. You know, we think these heavens here are so vast, and they are. You know, we can't even go to the nearest sun, let's call it the sun or the nearest star to us. We would die trying to get there. It's so far away. And that's the closest one to you. Not to mention when you look out even further into the heavens and you can see beyond Pluto and beyond all the other planets way on out, there are other galaxies, other universes. And you know what? You can't get to the closest one, much less the farthest one. We keep on looking out there like we're going to find something else. And there are people who think because you can see out there, that makes you something. You know what you need? Jesus, every one of you. And you're not going to get saved. You don't have enough time to figure out the great magnitude of what God has made. You know, you'll find yourself in a coffin before you figure it out. The fact is, right now, while the blood is running warm in your veins, God has given his son. Your time and my time is getting away quick. And we need Jesus, and he is the only Savior that there is. Only one got up out of the grave. This was even before all this medical technology that we have right now. He got out of the grave a long time ago before there was even penicillin found or any kind of other medication. And he needed none of it. All he did was he applied the power of Almighty God. And it was written in the Word that he would rise from the dead and he would give life to everyone who trusted him and believed in him. Now, I want to put some icing on this cake here, because the fact is, there's a lot of people who think you have to be scholarly and you need to know everything about all of God's law. I want to say, no, it's okay if you do. Study the Word. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God as workmen that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That means we got to cut it straight. That term comes from a term they used about for making tent pieces. You have to cut all the pieces, stitch them together right, or it's not going to look like a tent when it's done. So he said, rightly divide the word of truth. Now, the problem is there's nothing wrong with the word. I can bear truth and witness to you that this is entirely true from cover to cover, from Genesis to Revelation. But does that mean you can do it all? Does it mean you know it all? The answer is no, no. You do not know it all. And secondly, you cannot do it all. And if you could, there would be no need for God to have sent his son to the cross. Now, does that mean there's anything wrong with it? No. The law is perfect. It's holy and just and good. It's just the opposite. It's perfect. The problem is I'm twisted. I'm not perfect. I do not do everything correctly. Cannot do everything correctly. I'm trying. I've been doing better. Let me say this. Ever since I got saved, I've been heading in the right direction, and I do more and more things righteously, more and more, day by day. But it doesn't mean that I still am able to do everything. And you know what? If you're being honest, brother and sister, whoever you are, you will admit you have not done everything correctly. You will admit that you have to have a mediator between you and God. Otherwise, can God accept you on the basis of your works? Think about it for a minute. Have you done everything perfectly where you can stand before the most pure being there ever has been? In fact, the only pure being, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and say, I have never broken your law. If you can do that, you can be saved on your own. The fact is, if you're being truthful, you know I'm right. The gospel is right. It's not so much that I'm right, but the gospel is the best news in the world. See, the reason being, God is excusing those who trust in his son, and he's also not leaving it up to you anymore. At the moment you trust Christ, he will send his Holy Spirit into your life to dwell in you. That's the big difference. That's the difference that happened when I was in a wretched period in my life and how I got on the right road. God quickened me, gave me faith, and trusted his son. We call that news the gospel, the good news that God so loved the world. He gave Jesus to cultivate a relationship with everybody. You don't have to be high and mighty. Let me tell you how I know what I'm saying is true. There were blind people, never could read at all, and they got saved when they put their trust in Jesus the Christ. There were folks who were deaf, never even heard a word in their life. They trusted in Jesus Christ, and they were saved on the spot. So this is why I want you to understand something. There were people who were ignorant, never been to school, or hadn't been to the high colleges or upper educational stuff and all that. Trust in Christ, you got saved. There were folks who were rank sinners, like Matthew, the tax collector who writes the Gospel of St. Matthew, like Zacchaeus, the tax collector who hosted a party for Jesus at his house, and all the Pharisees who've been to the high schools said, oh, you know what, look at there, he's eating with tax collectors and sinners. You know what? They thought they knew something and their knowledge would make them right with God. But whether you broke one of God's commandments or all 10, or all 523, if we want to go into that mode. If you break one, I'm going to show you something here. James chapter 2 says this in verse number 10. We'll take a look here. I want to get you some scripture to go with what I'm telling you here. James chapter 2 is very good. The whole book of James is wonderful. James 2, verse number 10. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. See that? You're guilty of all. If you ever lied, guilty of all. That's what God says to you. If you ever stole, guilty of all. Have you ever committed adultery? Guilty of all. Whatever you did, covet something. That means I just thought about doing it. Guilty of all. That's what James 2 and 10 says. So whoever knows God's word, I don't. You tell me. You judge yourself. I'm not trying to judge you. If you check yourself, you will find out you, ma'am, you, sir, have broken God's law and you need mercy in order to be saved. That's a simple fact. There's nobody, it doesn't make any difference how scholarly you are, doesn't make any difference how old you are, doesn't make any difference how young you are. Children, if you hear me today, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. God gave him to save you. He is delighted to save you with the simplicity of the message of the gospel. That's why it's the best message ever heard. It's not for the big scholarly folks who know so much and are erudite and have doctrines and degrees and all that. It's not necessary for them too. But it's, you don't get there by superior personal knowledge. You get there by the pronouncement of the simple message that God loves you just like you are. He gave Christ, who is perfect, and he should remain perfect. He was always perfect, and he always will be perfect. The only time he approached not being perfect was when he was hanging on the tree, bearing my sin and yours. And at that moment, God forsook him and let him hang there. between heaven and earth, with your sin in mind. See? And he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? See? And the Father turned away and let him hang there with my sin and yours. See? You know? And he forsook him. You know what? It didn't kill him. Why? Because he was perfect. He was holy. He was without a spot. He was without a blemish. And he was able to bear my sin in his body on the tree. And he will bear yours if you simply believe in him. See? And God wants it to be so that the poor man, the pauper who has nothing, the homeless, anybody can be saved. You don't even have to own a Bible. I recommend you get one. If you get saved, you're not going to be, you're going to rush and get you one like I did. I remember when I first got saved, well, I got let me share this with you. This is personal, but I'm going to share it with you because I think it might help somebody. I was out stuck on drugs, couldn't get myself together, doing wrong. At one while in my life, when I heard the good news and God saved my soul, I remember going to work. I was still working, had a job. Sometimes people do that. They labor on a job, but they're still weekend or evening dope addicts or drunkards or whatever. See? And they're functional addicts, functional drug addicts, functional dope addicts, functional alcoholics. And they're stuck on a sin, but they try to maintain some kind of something that resembles a normal life for whatever reason. A lot of them. Sometimes they fall further than that. But I want to let you know, no matter where you are and how far you fall, Almighty God sent his son for you. And if today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. That's why the gospel is the best news ever. God can take a wretch right in the middle of his wretchedness, turn him around 180 degrees. You know what? Then get back to my story. I was functional like that. Then I got in trouble. The trouble I got in made me start to evaluate my wretched life. Made me start to think about, man, where are you going? What are you doing? How are you in this position? Now you've been locked up. You're subject to lose your job. You're subject to lose your family. And stuff is going downhill for you, brother. And I could hear it in my mind. I heard what my grandmother taught me when I was a little child. Son, if you ever get where you're in trouble, call on the Lord. And you know what? Right there from where I was, I called on the Lord. And he turned my life around. I didn't really realize it at the moment. When I was walking home from the police station after having been arrested and having my vehicle impounded back in those days, I said, I am never going to do that stuff anymore, ever. And you know what? I had never been able to say that and mean it in my mind. Never. Until after I said, Lord, I need help. My life is a shambles. It's a mess. And I believe you can help me because I remember my grandmother told me, call on the Lord. And so somewhere between that jail and my house, the Holy Spirit came upon me, and I have never been the same again. I want to let you know, you don't need to know everything in the Word. If you simply believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. And you know what? I didn't stay that way. I didn't stay ignorant. I didn't stay disconnected. God kept on working on me and getting in my business every day because I invited him in. Lord, I need you. I can't fix the mess that I've made. I need you today and I cannot fix it. See? And you need to surrender and let God come into your life. Call Jesus into your heart right now. I guarantee you he will fix it. And he will not give you rest. He'll stay with you and guide you and lead you. That's what he said. He says he will be with you always, even to the end of the world. You know what? I know now. I trust that promise still just as much today as I did the first day I received it. My course changed. I didn't immediately fix it. Everything wasn't fixed. I had all kinds of trouble for a long time, but I was due. I'm never going back that way again. And God blessed it, and he started to bless me and turn me around and get my mind focused on the right stuff. If that's what you need today, call on Jesus right now. He's anxious to come into your life and make a new you, a new man, a new woman, a new girl, a new boy. No matter what you're struggling with. You know what? I'm not going to stand up here like I hear some people do and try to criticize folks for political stuff and sexual stuff and all the kind of mess that people get stuck in. I'm just trying to tell you the best news in the world is whatever you are in, God loves you. He will accept you. And the only problem is you have not accepted him. That's where the trouble is right there. And you know what? It's a free gift. He's paid for it in full. When you get a gift, it's paid for in full. If you got to pay for it, it's not a gift. And the truth of the matter is, God loves you, and he's given his son to pay for everything you owe him. And he just simply wants you to say, Lord, I accept the free gift. Give it to me now, Lord, please. And he will. I believe Jesus paid my bill entirely. And I believe you raised him out of the dead so we can have proof, 100% proof that I'm saved. So salvation is about the gospel. Now, you know what? And I'm not trying to denounce Bible study. You know, the Bible became the most interesting thing to me that I had ever encountered, and it still is. I treasure the Word of God right now. You see? And it started when I turned my life over to Christ. You know, I had had Bibles. They were sitting somewhere covered up with dust or thrown in a box somewhere. But I never really loved it like I do now. See? I love it. And God will make you where you love it. And you'll get into it and you'll begin to study it. And you'll begin to understand it. He said, in all you're getting, get understanding. And he will give you understanding. See? And he will fix you in every area where you are broken. Let me tell you this, too. You're not done just because you got started. If you're on the road, God's not through with you yet. He's got more for you. He's got everything for you. And he just wants you to start that relationship right now. He will give you what you need. He'll fill you with his Holy Spirit. And the Spirit will convict you of three things: sin, righteousness, and judgment, Jesus said. Sin, because they believe not on me. He convicts the world, not just the saved. The Holy Spirit is convicting the world of sin. You know why? Because everybody in the world has sinned and comes short of the glory of God. That's what Romans 3 says, verse 23. Romans 3:10, there's none righteous. There's not even one. So don't go around telling God, oh, I'm righteous because I keep your law. No, you don't. You've broken it. And if you've broken it at one point, you've broken it all. That's the truth. See? So you need Jesus. That's the only way you can be saved. Let me give you another verse here. Galatians chapter 3. Go with me here. It says, oh, foolish Galatians. This is Paul writing to the church of Galatia. Who has bewitched you? Who tricked you? That before he says that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This is only what I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? How did you get saved, Galatians? You had the law when I came there. You know, there were Jews there teaching the law. But the law cannot save you because it is not perfect. Almighty God is 100% perfect. So we need a 100% Savior who can save us. That's why the Bible says later on in Galatians, read that for yourself, that the law is a schoolmaster to lead you to Christ so that you understand that you need the Messiah and that there's nothing else that can save you but God's grace. And you know what? When Jesus did what he did, he paid the entire bill. It's not left up to us that now that I'm saved, oh, I got a total line. It doesn't mean I'm trying to go continue in sin either. You know what? I am perplexed with sin now. Sin is an enemy of mine. I see it as an enemy that's striking against me and striking against my walk with Almighty God. See? And so I want to learn from the Holy Spirit who leads and guides me to all truth. The more truth I understand, the more he leads me, and the more I walk more righteously day by day. And you wouldn't need a verse in the scripture that says that if we confess our sins, 1 John 1:9, that he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And why would you need that if you are perfect and you can keep the law? There's no sin for you to repent of or to confess. And the truth is, we have all sinned and we continue to sin. And I'm not encouraging you to sin. I'm just letting you know the truth. The fact is that you have sinned and you will likely do it again. And so therefore, I need the covering of the Most High God, Son, who died and took all my sin in his body on the tree and got out the grave to prove that I have done the job 100% correct. So the Galatians got twisted up. You know why? Because people who are highly intelligent, supposedly, came and told them, well, you know, you forgot about these laws here. Now, you need to do this and that. And they started to add things to what the gospel says, is that God loves you and accepts you just like you are. And they were telling people, if you don't do all these things, you're not saved. See, you must be circumcised and keep the law of Moses. in order to be saved and trust in Jesus. Well, they added something to it. And I want you to understand the reason why the cross is the symbol of Christ is that it's Christ plus nothing. There's nothing that you can add to what Jesus has already done. See, now it doesn't license me to sin. That's why he told the Romans in Romans 6, he says, shall we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? God forbid. God is saving you from sin. He's saving you out of sin. He's teaching you how to be righteous. He's teaching you how to be holy. He's teaching you how to love. You know, the biggest problem people have, we talk about lying, stealing, cheating, gambling, coveting, adultery, fornication, all that sin. But we don't talk about if you don't love people, that's a big sin. That's as bad as any of the other sin. But if you got somebody you hate that you can't get along with, the scripture says, how can you love God who you cannot see, and you do not love your brother who you can see? So the word is just so basic. And think about who's on your hate list. Who is it that I would rather not see? God wants you to make those relationships right. He wants you to fix that thing, and only through his grace and his mercy will we be able to do it. I'm going to tell you this. I spent a whole year, last year, at St. Timothy Missionary Baptist Church, teaching about love, how to love like Jesus. Some of you were there that are listening to me right now. Did we all get it? You know what? A year is not enough. That's what I figured out. Not that we didn't get better. We did. We all got better. We got a little better than we were. But you know what? Jesus taught his disciples for 3.5 years. And you know what? They still didn't get it either. It takes a while for people who are a sinful nature that's built into you, that came in there, you were born in sin, shaped in iniquity, to love like Jesus loves. That's the truth. So don't get high and mighty talking about what all the laws I'm keeping, and you know, you might be keeping them, but do you love your enemy? Do you love those who hate you? Do you love the ones who despitefully misuse you and abuse you? If you don't, you got a ways to go, baby. Let me let you know. Right now, you are not done, and the law is not going to help you. You know what? The law of the heart and the spirit is even greater than the written law in the sense that you can have it written, and it can be a going through the motions kind of thing for you, but if you don't have it in the heart, it's out of the abundance of the heart, Jesus said, that the mouth speaketh. And it's also out of the heart that goes forth evil and adultery and murder and rape and all those sins all come out of the man. See? It's not anything outside that contaminates us. It's what's in us. A fallen, broken, dirty, evil nature. And so the reason why the gospel is the best news ever is because even though we're wretches like that, to our core, the core of our soul, God will excuse you because he gave his son to do for us what we could never do for ourselves. That's the reason. One reason, I could probably write a book with thousands of reasons why the gospel is the best news ever. But that's enough. You should have enough right now. My time's getting away, just about gone. You should have enough right now to understand that God loves you. Doesn't make any difference who you are. You do not have to be a Bible scholar. You know what? Once you fall in love with Jesus, you're going to be a Bible scholar. You're going to want to dig in that word just like I did. Once I got straightened out and God turned my direction around 180 and I began to walk with him by faith, he has still been teaching me all these years. And I'm still not perfect, but he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Lord, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. So you know what? The world's still going on. Guess what? Jesus is still with me. He's giving me more revelation every day. I'm learning to love him more every day. I'm learning to love you more every day. I'm learning to love stuff that where people are hating on me more every day. See? I'm able to give up a little more sin every day. I'm learning some new stuff that I didn't even know was sin every day. See? And so every day he wants to be in your life to make you a better man or a better woman than you've ever been. And he accepts you no matter how far you've fallen away, no matter how ugly it is, whatever it is you're dealing with. And there's some ugly stuff in the world, let me tell you now. You know? Don't just put it in the world. Some of it is in me. But he is the only one that can fix it. He's the one that can get it out. He's the one who can fix your mind and make you think right and fix your body and make you feel right. He's able to do exceeding and abundantly beyond all that we can ask or think. And his motivation is that I love you just exactly like you are. See? And you can receive this good news right now. Don't try to figure it out. You can try to figure it out. That's okay. But don't wait till you figure it out to say, yes, Lord, I need you. I need you. I'm calling on you right now. Come into my life. Fix me. Make me right. Give me the assurance that my soul is saved so that if I go to sleep tonight and don't wake up in the morning, I'm good. And that's the way you have to see it. God loves you. He accepts you. He wants to teach you. He told the church, go and teach all the nations. Make disciples of all the nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. See that? So he knew it was going to be a process. You're not going to suddenly, all of a sudden, get holy and do everything right. And if you have been doing right, good. That's wonderful. I don't decry that. You know, but you can be way out of order to a point that you don't even know how you got here. You're in such a mess, I don't even see how I got here. Now, maybe you have never experienced that. But for those of you who have, and I hope you have it, and I hope you don't stay there. I hope tonight you will say, Lord, I need Jesus right now. I want to receive that good news. Bless me and take me, and I will be your son or your daughter. Ask God to do that for you right now. And he will do it. He promised already that to as many as received him, to them he gives the right to be called the children of God, even those that believe on his name. Just trust on him right now. Turn over that stuff that's hard in your life to him. He'll take you right now. You don't have to change it. You know why? Because you can't. You need his help. He will help you. He's the only one who can change it. He wants to do it, but he won't violate you and come into your life until you invite him in. Ask him to come in. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we ask you right now, Father, forgive us of our sin, Father. Help us, Lord God. We've been struggling with stuff and don't really understand what to do. And Father, we understand that the gospel is the best news that the world has ever heard. And so, Father, fill us right now. Come in by your Spirit, Lord. Help us to deal with the stuff we're dealing with. Give us peace, Lord God, that our hearts don't have so that we can know that we are saved, Lord. And teach us how to love each other like you love us. You said the whole world will know that you are my disciples because you have love one to another. So help us to love on each other, Lord God, and help us to be able to release that stuff that's wrong. Help us to be able to confess that stuff that's wrong. You said confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Lord God, we ask you to give us that prayer life, Lord, where we can just pray and seek your face and heal our bodies, Lord God. Heal our mind. Heal our spirit. Heal our soul, Lord God. Give us a mind thirsty for your word, for the truth of the gospel, that we may understand your law and become more righteous and more holy and be able to be the kind of men and women you're calling for. Bless even the least of us right now, Lord. There could be a person that don't know what they're doing right now, going through a whirlwind of sin. But we ask you right now by the power of the gospel that you give them the faith to believe that Jesus has paid the bill entirely, that you might usher them into your kingdom and embrace them and hold them and love on them until they get their lives together. Lord God, we thank you. We give you praise. We thank you for your glorious works, Lord. We see your hand in so many things, Lord God. We just thank you, Lord God. You are so awesome, so excellent. And we praise you right now, God. With all that's within us, we give you praise right now, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, we thank you today. Bless somebody under the sound of my voice. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. We thank God for you. We hope you got a blessing, understanding today why the gospel is the best news ever. And it really is. And we hope that you'll share this with your friends, your relatives, your neighbors, even your enemies. Amen. We thank God because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. See, it's not about big eyes, little U's, smart people, whatever. The very simplest, most feeble mind can receive this message. And we hope that you have received it, however your situation is. Amen. So we thank God for you. We'll ask you to share this message if you like. It's a good thing to help get the message out to the world. That's the real business of the church. The church is not here to meddle with people and do all the kind of stuff I see people doing. We're not here for politics or any of that. you know, that's a part of the world, but my mission is to preach the gospel. So we're glad you were with us today. Amen. May God richly bless you.